What's going on, Clipper Nation? This is a mental health wellness check.
I hope everyone's doing okay.
Is everybody okay out there? Let's do better.
Yeah, I think it's going to be all right.
Everything's going to be
probably.
Anyways, it's me, William, the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network, and we're coming at you 5 days a week with all the Clippers news.
Oh, yeah.
And we got a hyper show lined up for you today. We're going to kick things off with a preview of the upcoming action against the Cavs. It's going to be a home game. Your host will be there tomorrow, so stay tuned for that content.
Oh, yeah.
And then today is Twitter Tuesday. Every single Monday, it's a little confusing, we ask for your questions on Twitter. And thank you so much to everyone who sent them in ahead of time. We really, really appreciate it. And if you ever want a chance to get your question featured on an episode of Locked On Clippers, all you got to do is send... respond to the query, if you will, or anytime during the week, go ahead and just send those cues over to at Locked On Clips, at Will Updike, at Charles Markler. We would love to hear from you. And then...
we got a panic edition.
In the shavings drawer, we got a little bit of a panic section.
Oh, yeah.
As we said at the top of this, it seems like people are a little unnerved at the performance thus far, but let's talk about it. Let's get into it. So all that and more coming up right about now.
So, we're going to get the serious business out of the way.
All right.
With this preview of the Cavs versus Clippers at Staples Center. You're listening to it. No Paul George.
Yeah, so...
they've already ruled him out. We're recording this the day before the game. He's out for this game.
And I believe... does this come prior to the evaluation?
Yes. He was supposed to be evaluated today when they got back.
Yeah. And so... just before we get into this, do we think that does anything further to his timeline, possibly past the Magic?
I was going back and forth with Justin Russo on Twitter, shout out at FlyByNight. He was saying that he thinks Paul George is out until late January, and I completely agree. He's already been ruled out a day before this game. We do play the Lakers on the 28th.
Yeah, I was going to say today.
There's like a whole road trip ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you guys recall earlier, I said that stretch post the Lakers game on the 28th is, if this team was to rip off a section of wins,
it's here.
It would be there.
We play the Heat. It's kind of a weird road trip because we play the Magic like twice in like 2 weeks, which is weird.
Yeah.
They're always hard, but we play the Heat. The Hawks are in there. It's going to be really, we're going to find out Thursday night if Paul George is going to travel with the team.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be, you know, that's kind of the sign, really. If he's not traveling with the team for that road trip, he's probably not coming back till that Lakers game.
Yeah.
That's what I would assume.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I don't think that they're worried about the Lakers game. It's just another scheduled game.
Oh, I'm just using it as a date specifically.
Oh, got you. Yeah. I mean, you know, we're already midway into January. So, yeah, if he's...
keep him out. If he's already out for this game, it's like...
if he's already out for this game, I'm assuming that he's definitely out for the Magic game. And yeah, I would put him at at least a week away.
Yeah. Paul George news aside, the Cavs have the classic rough back-to-back for a bad team visiting LA. They're playing the Lakers tonight when we're recording this.
Yeah.
We have no reason to lose this game. We have none. There are none reasons.
There's zero excuses we can make for this one.
And I put this in the notes, and I hope everyone's watching at home. I swear to God, if we are losing or tied in the first quarter of this game, you're going to see a chili dog covered credentialed media member hurl themselves off the press box. I'm just going to be frustrated. It's not that I think we're going to lose this game or anything like that. It's just like, let's just get into what could go wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's start off on a bad note. I think that trading baskets with this team really early on is going to be a disaster.
Dude, they got some shooters.
Yeah, so they're 24th ranked three-point shooting team by percentage. But, like, honestly, their percentage isn't that much lower than ours. It's like, a point and a half away. And they only take one less attempt, really, than us per game. And Kevin Love and Chetty Osman are both around the 37% mark from three.
And he's taking like six a game.
Yeah, Kevin Love's taking six. Jenny Osmond's taking five. And then you know, like Sexton can go on tears. He went on a bizarre tear to end the season last year.
Yeah.
Darius Garland has been up and down as a scorer. I think he's averaging 12 overall, but he's had multiple 20-point games in the last 10. So.
And if you're trading buckets with a team that on paper maybe doesn't seem like they're going to beat you, that gives them hope, and that lets teams score 140 points or whatever the hell it is. Chetty is at five attempts, 37% too. So, like, they have a couple guys who can fill stuff up. Another thing that gets me, the free throw shooting is an interesting thing to look at.
So, this is really interesting when you brought this stat up today.
You can put this stat with the Kings are 28th in pace in terms of what the hell is this stat. The Cavs are they don't foul. They're number one in fouls per game against the opponent. And they're number one in opponent free throw attempts. For a team that went, what do they win, nine games?
They've won 12 games. Let's show a little respect.
You expect them to foul a lot more than literally the best in the league.
Well, it's interesting because they do have a couple of those veteran anchors in Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson. But yeah, it is really surprising.
And it's like Sexton is a, you know, he's a dogged defender. That's what he makes his money on. So you would think that there'd be maybe some. And his defense kind of fell off a cliff last year. But, like, you'd think with that there'd be more fouls or something, but they just don't seem to commit fouls.
Yeah. And, I mean, even Denver, who I think sometimes gets some soft calls.
Yeah.
Struggled to get to the line against them in that loss that they took to the Cavs.
So, if we're trading buckets with them and we're trying to rely on the free throw line.
It ain't there.
It just might not be there.
Yeah.
This, I hate that we have to take, like, I have a lot of the same frustration that's going to be in the Twitter Tuesday section. It's hard to look at these stats and be like, we should destroy this team. Full disclosure, looking at the stats on paper, theoretically, you know, we were 13-point favorites in that Warriors game.
Totally.
Anything else that could go wrong in this game?
No, I mean, I think that about...
Other than the regular stuff, like I think the first note I put in here was like, we play like we've won, the wires get crossed, there's some discombobulation with some turnover, like shooting ourselves in the foot.
Yeah,
is the biggest thing that can go wrong in this game.
I got a matchup slash what we need to do to win.
Throw it in, dude.
Start Jamichael.
Whew. At the four?
Let's start Jamichael.
There was kind of a...
Let's stop kidding around.
I'm okay with it. Maybe give him a little more run. Maybe after this game I'd be down with starting Jamichael. But, I mean, Paul George is out. We need...
After the Cavs game? This is a perfect time to workshop something.
You're right. This is a perfect time. And we're going to need shooting. We saw what happened when Paul George isn't out there, and we tend to hurt from three. Not everyone can be Patrick Beverly like in that Nuggets game.
He just had a positive impact. I don't know. I really liked his contribution. Obviously, if health is a concern, then disregard this note. But
if he's playing,
let's see a shakeup. Let's see a Jamichael in that starting five.
I like that. So that bridges into what we need to do well. So really, the only best thing the Cavs do on defense is that free throw stat.
Yeah.
That I said. They are 27th in opponent 3-point percentage, 29th in overall field goal percentage. Middle of the road on 3 points attempt, so hopefully we'll be efficient.
Yes.
But teams average 25 assists against the Cavs, which is 28th in the league for the Cavs,
gotcha.
Which is not good. So it's the not good end of the spectrum. So let's move the dang ball. Like, I want to see shots taken with, like, less than 8 seconds left in the shot clock.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, let's... The Corey Maggette gospel.
Move the ball from side to side.
Spaghetti Maggette. We haven't talked about him much on this pod. Move the ball from side to side. Get the spacing goofy. And I want to see purposeful open looks missed. In that Nuggets game, there were a couple passes where it was like, dude, I know the open look is there, but you just made like the second pass.
Totally.
Just take the shot. Yeah. I would like to see that in this game.
Yeah. I mean, we say this all the time, but like, we got to rebound the ball well. Currently... I feel like things have been up and down by eye, but we are still holding down the third best.
I swear to God. So last year and this year, I don't know what's going on with rebound, but like the eye test, the Clippers rebounding, and I hate to say this because I'm a big fan of the eye test, is a good reason why the eye test fails sometimes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we're third best in the league, 48 a game. Tricky thing is, the Cavs are 19th, but that's tied with the Nuggets, who out-rebounded us last night. Two nights ago, if you're listening to this. And they killed the Nuggets on the glass in that loss, 55-42.
They got Tristan Thompson.
Their top three rebounders are Tristan Thompson, who's at 11 a game, Kevin Love, 10 a game, Larry Nance, 7 a game. So they don't really have as much of a presence for the rebounding guards, like, say, the Clippers.
Bam's going to have to be on the shit.
Yeah, I think that it's going to be huge. And that's another reason, like, having a JaMychal in there. Obviously, Mo is a solid rebounder, but I don't know. Eye test supports JaMychal.
It's weird. So let's get into these key matchups. I had Paul George and Kawhi versus anybody, but, well, let's just make it Kawhi versus anybody. I don't want to see another superstar game that we need from Kawhi in this game. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want Kawhi to have to play 35 minutes and put up 37-7. I don't want that to have to happen.
I'm fine with 35 minutes.
Dude, against the cat? Like, that's crazy. That's 1 minute away from his par 36.
No way. And I totally see that. But there's ample time in between games.
Play on Thursday.
It's at home. I know, but there's still like...
Yeah, a day and a half, whatever, yeah.
And... here's my thing. I love what we've seen from Kawhi these past couple of games. And I guess I kind of am ready to see like this ramping up Kawhi kind of continue. And I know that's maybe a lot to ask for. We're only halfway into the season. But the latter half for me should be, that kind of ramp up time, right? Is that fair?
No, I think that's fair.
And 35 minutes to me... 35 minutes to me is not insane.
In a vacuum, it's not insane, but against this Cavs team on paper, I'd be a little bummed. We just have the pieces.
I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. And the depth of this team, theoretically, it should be unnecessary, but I just don't think that's going to be the situation.
It's so hard with this Clippers team because I feel like we have to use the word theoretically so much because they're playing in this frustrating way right now.
Totally.
Zoo versus Thompson.
I like this.
Another traditional matchup for Zoo.
He is much larger. Tristan Thompson is only 6'9".
He plays so big.
Yeah.
Thompson's having 13-11, so we need some good Zoo for this one.
Yeah.
Superstars, we kind of know what's got to happen. Garland and Sexton versus Bev and Mo was my note for this.
Okay.
I don't think Shamet gets a start again, because he got it, and it didn't go well, and then he wasn't started the next game.
So... let's just touch on that for 1 second. I hate to segue, but...
No, don't worry about it.
How do you feel about, as I said earlier, like JaMychal in the starting lineup? And we just keep Mo in there because I do like him guarding guards. And I do like his like switchability.
You like JaMychal guarding guards?
No. I meant Mo.
I was like, dog.
We still keep Mo, in the starting lineup. But we have JaMychal that is kind of... that is the
4.3.
The fat four.
Damn, dude. He's not fat anymore, though. He's jacked, dude.
He is... like, he's very slimmed out.
No, this is like, I don't know what I want to happen with the starting line. I don't want Sham in there because he needs to work. Sham is a shooter.
Yeah.
That's what he does. There's nothing wrong with that. Keep him in that second unit. I kind of hope it's Mo and Pat.
Yeah.
Maybe JaMychal. And the starting is what I'm saying.
Then what's that starting five?
Got Bev. Honestly, maybe Lou.
Oh, I don't like Lou in the starting lineup.
I'm saying for this one, bury him.
All right.
Early onslaught would be nice. Because can you think of a time this year we've had an early onslaught?
It's been a while. We had that one wild game where Kawhi and Paul George were both going off.
Yeah, that was tight. What's your prediction for this game? It feels like so long ago. It does, dude.
I'm not going to list exact score, but please let us be plus 10 in this one. Plus 10 or bust, man. Plus 10 or I'm reporting this as though it's a loss after the game.
I hope we win this game. I think all the signs point that we will win this game. I really hope we can win this game, limiting some of the bad tendencies that we've seen.
It'd be great.
I know they're not going to all be eliminated.
Yeah.
Because it does take time. But it'd be nice to see some improvement. I would love a 15-point victory.
All right. I like it.
I would love... Yeah, it'd be a good time. Let us know what you think is going to happen. We hope it's going to be a win. It's probably going to be a win.
Life
will be good.
Yeah.
We'll be drinking too much on a Tuesday night after this game. Coming up after this, we have your fantastic questions from Twitter on Twitter Tuesdays.
Hey, before we leave this one off, guys, we have a new Google Talk number, which is 213-986-7354. We're going to start doing a new segment called Hot Take Thursdays.
This could be trouble.
So send us your hot takes. Leave a voicemail. Yeah, we're not going to freeze and cold take you later.
We're going to play them on the show. We're going to pick a couple, obviously, because we're going to pick all of them. We're going to play them on the show. We're going to react to them.
It's going
to
be a fun time.
It's going to be our first actual Google voice message was from Dominic Coles, who left one for this Twitter Tuesday segment. First of all, shout out Dominic. Great Twitter user. We don't always agree on stuff, but he can discuss it. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's a good discusser of Clipper stuff. He called in and left a very windy message about Mo Harkless's movable contract and our thoughts on the team's fitness overall. That Mo contract is the most movable. I think we talked about this last night a little bit.
Yeah, the Mo contract is kind of a cornerstone to making any deal happen.
Any trade with someone making over like $15 million a year, it takes Mo.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of sucks.
Otherwise, you got to lump in a bunch of salaries. But I mean, the Clippers were familiar with that.
What's your take on just kind of the thoughts on the team's fitness and all the injuries racking up? Because that's a good question by Dominic.
Fitness as in their physical fitness?
Obviously, we know their peak physical fitness condition, but like the injuries and knocks and everything, like it's been a busy year for the medical staff. I'm not going to say it's been a bad year because that puts a weird light on the medical staff, but it's been a busy year.
It has been a busy year. I think... I'm hoping that it's better to get it out of the way early. Like, I don't really know. I really don't know because if the inclination is already there or like the occurrences are already happening, I don't have any firm evidence to believe that that won't be the continuation as the season goes on. But at the same time, I'm still holding out for for late February before I'm making too many crazy judgments.
I don't know where I'm at.
Gotcha.
Because the fitness, part of me thinks that maybe there's an issue with, they want that continuity.
Yeah.
And they might be pushing things too hard in practice sometimes. I'm not saying that they are. We don't get to go to practice because we have dumbass 9-to-5 jobs. But some practices, it's I think it was last week, everyone in the post-practice interviews was like pouring sweat.
Yeah.
And so I think there might be this like, we got to get it together thing, which I don't fault them for because the fans want that.
You're saying we need to bring in Boylan to get this team in
shape. Dog, let's get that mother effing time clock in there. I want guys practicing in hard hats and steel-toed Tims. No, Mo's contract, if there's a trade, I think he gets moved.
I just don't see any. Yeah, he has to get moved just purely from I'm not saying I want Mo to get moved or anything like that.
No, but
he has to get moved purely from like a money logistical perspective.
It just works that way.
It just works. Like that's just how it works.
Going into our next question from @ringwraith02, they said, I know we're all hesitant to make moves and what could just be growing pains. Feel you. But how many minutes do you see Mo getting in the playoffs? Doc runs about 7 guys, and if Mo isn't going to get playoff run and is expiring, wouldn't we be more inclined to move that 11 mil? Great trade question, by the way. One of the more in-depth trade questions we've had, which I love.
Yeah, so, I mean, throughout his career history, Mo Harkless has averaged like 25 minutes in the playoffs per game, and...
it's not very good.
It's not awful.
It's not awful equals it's not very good.
No, I mean, he averages over his career, 9 points per game in the playoffs. Effective field goal percentage is like 49%. His 3-point shooting percentage, like, he had one dump year in 16-17 where he shot 17%. But as a career in the playoffs, he shoots like 30% from three, which is right around his career average. I mean, you're not getting much better than that from Mo.
And you're not, like, if your game plan is like, let's get Mo this open shot, you're probably not going very far in the playoffs.
He's a guy that's like...
But he should be kind...
He's the threat of space. He's not necessarily a spacer. He's the threat of space.
Do you think they need to establish that a little more when the playoffs start looming more?
You know...
Because what was the team that just like did not care about... Was it Memphis? Who just like...
Yeah, it might have
like,
been.
Mo was standing in the corner and his defender was at the block. Like, they did not care about him.
Well, so I think for that, we need
our guys to be healthy.
Yeah, we need all our guys to be healthy. We need, like, some more motion happening kind of off ball. And, I mean, you know, Mo looks a lot better when he's just, like, cutting to the basket. Like, let's be real.
He's like Jermichael. He has that in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, yeah. And he's not as good of a shooter as Jermichael. But, no. Yeah, I don't know. Like, overall playoffs, you know, I'm not willing to say, like, a complete dud or anything. This last campaign, his deepest campaign, wasn't the most promising, but I don't see...
Well, the players also just shit the bed that campaign, like, as a whole.
I mean, they were just tired.
Yeah.
They had too many injuries. I don't see playoffs necessarily being the thing that moves Mo. I think if Mo gets moved, it's because of things that we've seen throughout the season, a la offenses ignoring him or defenses ignoring him, and just having a juicy contract.
We got one more time for a question in the segment.
Yeah,
we got one more quick time. James Barnes came at us with a heater. If load management is this great, if we can't get the team on a good, consistent winning pace, there's no reason for us to be having 16 starting lineups, followed by Danny H. At what point does the team accept the lack of continuity?
Okay.
Fantastic question. At what point do they just start kind of decide, this is where we're at? It's been literally half a season of no continuity. So
one game away.
I really like this question from the standpoint of like, because it made me think about how I'm viewing the team a little bit in terms of like, all right, the continuity literally might not ever be there.
Mm-hmm.
It just might not. We've gone through 49% of the season without continuity. You know what I'm saying? So, like, this is a good question. And I'm going to mull it over a couple days, but, like, I it's making me think a little bit.
I definitely agree. I don't agree with the there's no reason for us to be having 16 different starting
lineups.
No, that
makes total sense because there's no continuity.
Like, that's just something that's going to happen. But I agree. Like, at a certain point, we're going to stop doing it and the team is going to have to stop doing it. But, you know, we're going to have to stop using that as an excuse. Like, that's just what it is some seasons, and that's what it is for some teams. And, you know, I really hope that we're not like back into a cycle where health is, you know, like the biggest limiting factor of this team. But who knows?
It's a big one. We're going to get next segment. We have more Twitter Tuesday. This one is called The Panic Room because we got a lot of panicky questions coming up right after this.
We're back.
Welcome to the panic section.
The panic room.
Twitter was like a slow day today, but people were also just ready to fire Doc.
Yeah.
Which is wild. Max Power, the first question we got today. What needs to change to take us from where we are now to challenging for the title in June? Is it time we just need to change in the roster or coach? Am I just being melodramatic? And then in all capital letters, what do we do? With an exclamation point and question mark. So, we're still challenging for the title. We are a half game out of the second seed.
Fifth seed.
Or the fifth seed. I think part of it is the melodrama. And I think LOL WTF Eric, the Clippers meme king, you need to be following him, fantastic artwork as well, he asked us an all capital letters question. Do you guys also have this eerie, familiar sense of dread with each game that is evidently a remnant of the psychological damage Lob City has seared into your souls during its final years? I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah.
I think a huge part of it is like, oh, we should have won these years. We should have won these years. And it's like, we just...
We got to accept, though, that this is just different.
It's a work in progress.
It's a work in progress, and it's so much different from what the nucleus of that was. I mean, it's not...
I will say the only constant has been Doc, so I think he gets a lot of unflair.
I was going to say, yeah, and I think that, you know, and we've talked about this on the podcast before, and, you know, prior to, like, two seasons ago, I probably would have said the same thing. And 100%. I think that even Doc would question why he was here.
He did, because he stepped down from president of basketball operations.
Yeah, and I think that he would have, you know, maybe not renewed a contract as a coach if he thought that it was done here. Or yes, if he thought... Agreed. You know, like, he's not at a point in his career where he, like, is desperate for a job.
He doesn't need this.
Yeah. I mean, you know, another title, I'm sure, would be great.
For sure. And a much less annoying title-winning team, but that's besides the point. I think it's kind of the weird recency thing. And, like, there's things that you can be upset at Doc for. You know, maybe some Zubats minutes or maybe some weird rotations and stuff. But... I kind of feel a little bit of what WTF Eric is talking about.
Yeah.
It's hard to, you almost have to compartmentalize when you're a Clippers fan. Totally, which is not totally what you should do from just a mental health perspective anyway. Yeah. It's compartmentalized too much. But with the Clippers fandom, it's like, we got to put Lob City in its own little box.
Yeah.
It was also when Golden State was reshaping how basketball is played or whatever. Like, it is hard right now, though.
I agree. It's really hard, and the stretch, like the play over the majority of the last few games, I mean, like, since the end of December, really hasn't done much to assuage those sort of, like, fears or worries or concerns. So I totally understand why people are at that space.
Like, I can see being freaked out a little bit.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, I think that like the Landry stuff is cause for concern. I think that the Mo Harkless stuff, like, you know, if he's not going to be respected or is having this up and down inconsistent kind of play, I think that can be a reason for concern. But I think there's
still hope.
There's still hope. And the thing that keeps me calm is really most of it is small stuff. You know, like, for me, the problem isn't the bigger stuff. Like, do we need to get rid of Doc or Kawhi or Paul George? You know,
God.
It's really just kind of these smaller issues. And that, to me, I feel like if it doesn't work itself out, there are some solutions out there I trust this front office enough to make, to be perfectly honest. And maybe that's blind. Like, maybe that's blind to me. Maybe that's recency bias, but that's
welcome to Locked On Sheeple, hosted by William the Sheep Updike. No. Well, it's hard too, because, like, we've talked about this. This is the most realistic championship expectations this team has ever had.
100%.
The most realistic. I'm not trying 100%. To. I'm not disrespecting Lob City or anything.
No.
But in terms of tangible, where we're at, personnel, what we've seen from 17-18, 18-19, to the 19-20 season, this is big. And there's a lot of pressure. It's weird to deal with.
Agreed.
And, we do get that. We have that Clippers mentality of, like, anything one bad thing happens, we're sunk. Because why not? Because that's how it's always been. It is still January. It's so hard to do, and I'm sure we're going to get some hot take Thursdays calls about this. Our first one's actually is about holding out hope. We just have to hold out hope. Like, it took this... Think how long it took the Clippers to get to where we're at now.
Mm-hmm.
Why would it happen quickly? Why would the pinnacle of all that we want as fans... I want it, and I definitely think it can happen this year. I have no doubt in my mind that we can win a championship this year. It might not happen, but there's no doubt that we can.
Totally.
And for that, for an entire organization's existence to be flipped around in one season, that's a lot.
It's a lot. It's a lot. And I think
not that, impossible, but just like we got hit with a lot of serotonin in the offseason.
Oh, yeah.
We bought so much hope off that guy at the festival. And we did all of it before the festival started. And it was great. It was so fun. We were buying way too expensive corn dogs or whatever.
You're not.
Bro, the festivals I go to, they sell corn dogs everywhere. But now the festival started, and we're kind of coming down a little bit. And I'm hold on with me for this whole metaphor. And we might need to reapon some hope, which could be a trade. Before the deadline is done, before half that festival's over and they run out of corn dogs at my festival, we might see a trade.
You're taking off and eating corn dogs.
Bro, all my metaphors involve corn dogs. What do you think we make a move?
It's feeling more and more like that is...
The electricity is in the air.
It's like feeling more and more like maybe that's the thing, but...
But...
We're not going to know until it happens, so...
We're not going to... Real G's move in silence like gnats or whatever the hell the thing is.
Lazagna.
Lazogs. Anything else that we want to talk about? Slash shaving, slash whatever.
You know, I just feel like we've talked about the continuity so much on here, but I still do feel like in a lot of ways we don't fully know what this team is yet. So it's
which really... sucks. Which like the caveat is that sucks. We can all accept that. It's a half season. That kind of sucks.
Difficult in January, but okay. Look at teams that make the most moves towards like the deadline and then look at their postseason success. And I think that overall you'll find that people who are standing pat it generally means that they're in a position that they're confident enough in.
Yeah.
And it works out.
Okay, that's fair. I like that take.
So
that's a comforting. Yeah, I'm on board with that. Man. Here's to a victory over the goddamn Cavs. You know what I'm saying? Wednesday's episode, we're going to have a recap of that hopeful victory over the Cavs. We're going to have a What You Say Wednesday poll discussion. Haven't thought of the question yet. We're going to have shavings. Also, again, one more time, Thursdays, we're going to be doing Hot Take Thursdays. Leave your message at 213-986-7354. We'll play it. We'll discuss it. Try and not curse, because we do have to play it on the air. But, you know, if it hits you, it hits you. Thank you so much for listening. You can where can they find us?
They can find us on Twitter, at Locked On Clips, at Will Updike, at Charles Mockler. We're on iTunes. Please subscribe, leave a rating, leave a review. We'll read it on the air. We're on Spotify. Did I already say Spotify? We're on Spotify, though.
We're on French music streaming app Deezer. You can also find the fantastic band Pencil Pusher there.
For all my D's heads.
All the D's heads. D's heads. Thank you so much for hanging out. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Appreciate you.